It's time for the Tropecast.
Welcome to the Tropecast.
I am Adam Smithy of webcomichell.com, currently now of applevalleycomic.com because
silence.
I'm actually updating Apple Valley again, you know, because I'm in one of those moods. Joined by my co-host Liz.
Hello, everyone. Liz Daly from AddressThisComic.com.
We also have a special guest host today in the form of Don.
Yes, obviously you guys were desperate, so desperate measures call for desperate measures. Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm Don Koch. I do a comic called Kaito at www.kaito.org/comic. Find the comic, otherwise you end up at a very empty-looking page
that taunts you for not being on the right page. Somewhere floating in the ether is also Mike, who is having computer problems and will be joining us as we go on. This is the first of two installments. We are going to be covering some holiday tropes. Now, I know that part of the thing is we don't want to make these too seasonal, and we did a monster movie trope for Halloween, and we're going to do romantic tropes for Valentine's Day. Fess can suck it. So we're doing some holiday tropes, primarily Christmas, but we're going to throw some other stuff in there too. And we're going to do this in two parts as two EPs. This first one, we are going to be presenting some nice holiday tropes, because this one's going to hopefully air sometime before Christmas. And we don't want coal in our stockings, yes. And then, part two of this, we're going to cover some naughty tropes. So, of course, we're going to be recording that all right now, so if you happen to be in the chat room, and is there actually anybody listening? No, we kidnapped... Well, actually, maybe there is somebody listening. I was going to say, we kidnapped our only listener and made him come on the show with us. But So, Christmas.
You know, humbug.
Just because...
Oh, wait, we're supposed to be nice.
Yes, this is the nice one. This is the Jack Frost... This is the Jack Frost movie with Batman in it. The heartwarming one where he dies but then comes back as a snowman so that he can spend time with his kid. The second half is going to be the Jack Frost, the serial killer snowman, where he murders people by impaling them with his carrot. I also have a bit of a cold, so I apologize in advance. So I was thinking, you know, the thing that always gets me, because I'm a big old TV addict, the thing for me is always the Christmas episode or Christmas special. Now, TV tropes is a little split on the use of these terms, because it has something to do with the way the Americans process language versus Britlanders. A lot of times they're kind of the same thing, but TV tropes has split the definition between Christmas episodes, which is where you have a episode of a TV show, but you have a special Christmas episode. You know, like, I was just actually watching an episode of Raising Hope earlier this evening where they did a bit of a parody off of It's a Wonderful Life. So, you know, that's a Christmas episode. Then
Glee has Christmas episodes.
Yes, and then counter that with the Christmas special, which is usually a one-shot sort of thing. It's the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, or it's basically all the Rankin and Bass claymation things, Charlie Brown's Christmas. Yeah. So let's go to the actual specials first, because I think there's a lot of stuff in those that really, especially for a heavily TV-tuned generation, has kind of come to define Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas special?
The Grinch. I just love The Grinch.
Don?
I'd say Wish for Wings at Work.
I'm not familiar with that.
It is on the Christmas special page. I see it here. I'll throw the... Let's see.
This is a Burke Breathed, Bloom County.
Oh.
Where Opus wishes for penguin wings that actually will work and he can fly.
Okay.
That sounds really cute, actually.
In the chat room now, we have a link for the Christmas special page and the tropes for the Wish for Wings That Work. How many comics did Opus wind up stretching across anyway? Because he was in Bloom County.
And Outland.
Then Outland. Then wasn't there a third one? And then he was in one that was just called Opus.
Yeah, he was in one called Opus.
I swear there was another one that he was in that was... Let's see. I don't know. I like the Blackadder Christmas special. But I always like Blackadder. And I'm really coming to appreciate Sci-Fi Channel's... Or no, actually, that's we'll do that part of the Christmas episode. I don't know if Blackadder really should count as a Christmas special or a Christmas episode, then, because it's not in any of the continuity of the regular show. What do I not feel like Christmas is complete without? I'm looking for anything on here that's really... I hate Frosty the Snowman. Oh, okay. Here's one that's a tradition for me. Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh my god.
Boom. Mm. I said it. That's right. I went there. Happy Life Day. did you know, going back to your thing, Liz, did you know that there were other Grinch specials besides that one?
Really? I did not know that.
There were two more Grinch specials that were made years after that one by Dr. Seuss, because the Grinch was such a popular character. The voice acting isn't as good in them. The music is not obviously Burl Ives anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was, there's a Grinch Halloween special, which is called, I don't remember. But then there's also a Grinch versus Cat in the Hat.
Those sound epic, and I need to, like, look them up, because that would be so awesome.
I know the Grinch versus Cat in the Hat is on YouTube in its entirety. And as I was watching it, because I never... Oh, Halloween is Grinch Night is the other one. And I'd never heard of it, and I was watching it, and I was like, you know what I keep getting the feeling here? This is Freddy versus Jason. This is Freddy versus Jason all over, because, like, the Cat in the Hat is being his annoying, gregarious self, and the Grinch is like, he's got this device that causes everything the Cat in the Hat says to turn like into barnyard animal noises.
Oh my God.
And he just shows up at the Cat in the Hat's house, and I'm like, yeah, that's how those kids felt. This is, I say apropos. But anyway, yeah, so there's that. Look, we're tangential. but yeah, the Grinch...
Everybody drink.
Let's see, Grinch Night was a Halloween special from 1977. Won an Emmy Award. Let's see. Yeah. There were two more Grinch specials. And then there was also that whole Jim Carrey debacle. But... I have a thing for the Grinch because I have a very deep singing voice. I'm like incredibly bass, and I have trouble singing most songs because I sort of have to hold, like, I can't hold my voice in the same tone that I talk in when I sing. And, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, you're rotten to the core.
That was very nice.
See? It's the one Christmas song I can do really well. So, okay. Wish for wings that work. Well, you know, that's a neat thing, too, because, This is another good example of one of the logic of Christmas specials is Opus never was in a cartoon. But just like Charlie Brown, you know, a comic strip, which is usually comic strip fare, will get turned into a cartoon for a Christmas thing. They used to do that a lot more. Now, of course, anything that they can possibly squeeze any marketing out of, they're gonna, you know, have, but I'm just looking at some of the things here, let's see, Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol was the first animated one of these produced expressly for television.
I remember that one, too.
Now they seem to do a lot of, like, the holiday movies, you know, it's, Phineas and Ferb have the Christmas Vacation special thing, and they seem to lean towards that, especially with the little kids. You know, we're going to do a special hour-long Christmas special thing instead, which is different than, I think, the Christmas episode, because I think the Christmas episode is more directly supposed to be, you know, this is, like a regular episode of the show that still is in the canon of it. It's not, not like, on Mystery Science Theater when they did, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians or, Santa Claus, the Mexican Santa Claus movie. Both of those episodes, while Christmas episodes, they're not, you know, like episode 4-0 Jingle Bells. They're in the regular numbering, they're in the canon, the things that happen in them affect the rest of the story. Doctor Who's been really good about that too since it came back. All of the Christmas episodes that they've done, and they've made a point of doing Christmas episodes whenever possible, but all the ones that they've done have been ones that were not just a Christmas episode, but a vital part of the story. You know, the Doctor, his first regeneration since the 96 movie is a Christmas episode. Okay, Well, this is something that's, we've been throwing around the term Christmas a lot, but this is something that I know, this drives me crazy, listening to them whine about it, but the perceived war on Christmas.
Oh my God.
And I think that this is something...
You just caused me to roll my eyes so hard they fell out of my head.
Let's see here.
Is that actually a trope? Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, it's in here somewhere. Let's see. Where's the Christmas in America?
Okay. Peking duck Christmas.
Let's see. We got some from the Christmas in America page. We got some neat things here. And a lot of people in other countries don't even necessarily know these. Oh, wait. Let's see here. Okay. We had a submission from the chat room pointing out that Sci-Fi does the Christmas episodes with their original shows, and that was one of the ones I was going to mention with the Christmas special, and then we got... But yeah, Eureka and Warehouse 13 have both done really good Christmas episodes the last couple of years. The Christmas one for Eureka this year was a tour de force of just the awesome bizarreness you can get out of Eureka. The science was a little broken, a little more broken than it normally is for Eureka. But, of course the Warehouse 13 was another stupid Christmas, I'm sorry, I have a cold and my brain is not working. Was a Wonderful Life. It was the Wonderful Life plot again. Let's see here. Christmas in America. Okay, so everybody knows what Black Friday is, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's where...
The most awful time of the year.
Yep.
Where so glad I don't work retail anymore.
Okay, so let's see here. War on Christmas. A lot of shows... don't do Christmas up straight. Either in an attempt to be multiculturally sensitive, and it's not just shows, it's people in real life. The whole, like, there's a line between being sensitive and being stupid, and I think some people rampantly jump across it. Like, I'm okay when people say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Yeah, there's a bunch of holidays, and I'm an omnitheist, so I don't really get picky about which ones happen, provided that somebody gives me something sweet and I get a present of some sort.
As long as you get some candy, you're fine.
Candy and presents, I don't care whose birthday it isn't. But there is some stuff that does bother me, and I try not to be like holiday tree.
The holiday tree does bug me.
Yeah, it's like when George Carlin joked that they wanted to change a manhole cover to a person hole cover.
Yeah.
There's a line. I get chairperson as opposed to chairman because it might be a lady. But a Christmas tree is for Christmas. And if you want to use it for something else, that's fine. You know, one year I left my Christmas tree up the entire year.
Did you, like, decorate it for Halloween and Thanksgiving and stuff?
I did. I didn't have anything for Thanksgiving, but I put Valentine's all over it for Valentine's Day, Easter eggs all over it for Easter.
See, then it is a holiday tree.
It stood gloriously naked for Arbor Day. Because what was I going to put on it?
Those little tree air fresheners?
Mm.
Sticks? I have no idea, but...
I had red, white, and blue garland for 4th of July. There were some gourds and, like, fake leaves for Thanksgiving. Of course, it destroyed the tree, because they're really not meant to be left up for 12 months. So by that year's Christmas, it was looking a little Charlie Brown-esque, and it had to be retired after that year. But
you got so much use and, like, joy out of it.
I did. Especially, most of my joy involved people coming down, you know, and it's, like, May, and they're like, oh my god, you still have that thing up? And I'd be like, yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, before the entire politically correct scene showed up, the joke was running around, at least at high school, that it was called a winter intermission bush.
That's awesome.
Well, I don't understand. The thing is, I know my religious history. I also know that Christmas wasn't actively celebrated in the Americas until the 19th century, and it was actually really frowned upon. Congress still met. They've been making a big deal out of that one this year, but it was a, Christmas was a very frowned upon holiday. That was an excuse for people to go out and get drunk, kind of like, New Year's Eve, Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July. It was not really a religious celebration. And also, Jesus was born in the spring. They wouldn't have been doing a census this time of year. Jesus was born during the census. Jesus was born in the spring. So,
well, and we celebrate Christmas in the winter because that was the church's way of, and I don't mean to open like a serious religious can of worms, but that was the church's way of converting all the pagans. Because it was like, all right, look, you like to have your little festival there at the end of the year, so tell you what, you can do it here, but you have to do it this way.
Yeah, the almost all of the trappings of Christmas have nothing to do with Christianity. The tree that they celebrated, they celebrate the pine trees because the pine trees didn't lose their needles, so they believed that, like, the spirit of life was represented through them.
Mm-hmm.
The lights the Yule, on the Christmas
the Yule
tree,
logs came Yule from log, pagan.
The berries for the holly and all of those different things. The fact that Christmas is on the 25th is pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christmas was to celebrate the solstice. But imprecise, inaccurate, not understanding how science works, pagans of 3,000 years ago, it takes about 4 days after the solstice for there to be an appreciable difference in the amount of time of day that you get. So Christmas falling on the 25th, because on the 21st we reach the equinox, the furthest point away the Earth is from the Sun on that particular orbit, or on that swing of the orbit. It takes about 4 days before the Earth has moved back close enough that we start getting a noticeably longer day instead of a shorter day.
Uh-huh.
It's a bell curve. So That's the reason it's on the 25th, was because it took 4 days for people to be able to really actually tell, you know, this day is longer than yesterday was as opposed to shorter. It just, if you actually know your religion and history and stuff, then Christmas really isn't actually anything to be defended so much, because it has nothing to do with Jesus at all, except that's when they decided to hang his feast day on.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Okay, so what do you say we call this the end of the nice half of the Tropecast, and when we return, or on the next episode, we will be delving into some significantly more naughty Christmas topics.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So, until next time, for those listening at home, I'm Adam Smithy of AppleValleyComic.com and WebComicHell.com.
I'm Liz Staley of AddressedAsComic.com.
And I'm Don, the Silent One of Kaito.org.